There used to be all these great reasons to buy Android phones, like ubiquitous 120Hz displays, flexible home screen customization, not to mention the ability to sideload your apps. But it seems to me that as Apple has embraced some of what makes Android great, Google has started to embrace what has made Apple a restrictive walled garden. It's like they're trying to out-Apple Apple, while Apple is appling better than Apple ever has. We're at the point where even before we saw the new AirPods Pros, the new Apple Watches, and the new iPhones at today's event, my wife, a lifelong Android diehard, had to flip a coin about keeping her iPhone at the end of her 30-day challenge. And I gotta say, it looks like they're gunning for me next. I already use AirPods Pro 2s. These things are great, and the way that Apple has improved this product over time is darn near unprecedented in this age of insurification. But come on, Apple, I don't want to pay extra for a pro model phone just to get a 120Hz display. And now I don't have to! Man, if everything they showed off today actually works like it's supposed to, I'm looking at you, live translation, then a good deal of this stuff could be a day one purchase for me. Of course, it is Apple, so I might need some help from our sponsor. Let's start with the no-brainer for me. In a little under 2 weeks, I will be handing over 250 American buckaroos for what Apple is claiming will be the world's best in-ear active noise cancellation. They are claiming up to double the ANC power of last gen while giving you 2 more hours of battery life. Like, dude, that alone is enough to get me to upgrade. But wait, there's more. They've also redesigned the earbuds with what they're calling a new multi-port acoustic architecture, which widens the soundstage, adds more vocal clarity, and delivers deeper bass. So in short, they're also going to sound better, and they even made them smaller and added another smaller ear tip size. That's going to be perfect for my kids on the plane. And there's another big feature I can't wait to experience, their live translation system. Theoretically, this is going to work like a real live Babel fish in your ear that will enable full-blown conversations with people who speak completely different languages. And the best part is Apple hasn't paywalled this feature behind their latest hardware, allowing anyone with at least AirPods 4s or AirPods Pro 2s and iOS 26 to give it a whirl. Also, if the person you're speaking with doesn't happen to live in Apple land, you can still translate what they're saying in your ears, then reply and have your iPhone output it for you. Finally, I'm not 100% sure how well it's going to work, but Apple has also squeezed heart rate sensing into the new earphones. Anyone who already has a smartwatch, Apple or not, probably doesn't need that, but I promise you, for everyone who doesn't have a smartwatch, or doesn't like wearing one, but still wants at least some level of fitness or health tracking, it's pretty sweet. They're claiming it gives accurate data for up to 50 different workout types and includes an IP57 rating for dust, sweat, and water resistance. Which is good, because I'm getting kind of some excited sweats going on here right now, and I haven't even gotten into the new iPhone Air yet. Now, before I dive into the cool stuff, I want to get the concerns out of the way. Number one, that camera bump. Oh, Apple, it's more like camera stairs. Now, I'm sure they have a good reason for it. Apparently, all the major hardware is nestled in the plateau, but like, Apple, come on. You've already got an island, you got a port. How many more geographical forms do you need on your phones? Number two is that it's not called an iPhone 17 Air. That means in 2 years, we're gonna have what? The iPhone Air 3 alongside the iPhone 19. I know this is a nitpick, but this unintelligible naming scheme for the company's flagship freaking product comes from the same people that just simplified their iOS naming to iOS and the year. Come on! Finally, complaint number three, as some of you have already pointed out, it only has an amplified earpiece speaker. No bottom speaker. So, yeah, super thin phone, super cool phone, but if you care about stereo imaging on your phone speaker, or if you use your phone as a Bluetooth speaker while you're walking around the house, you might want to at least wait for the reviews before you rush out and buy one. It's a pretty important thing to do. Otherwise, how would you know that this RGB t-shirt from LTTstore.com is the favorite of 3 recent reviewers? Anyway, other than those quibbles, the Air looks like it absolutely delivers on its promise. It's a little on the taller side, in between the 17 Pro and the 17 Pro Max, but it really is very slim at just 5.6 millimeters at the thinnest point, and it features a titanium chassis to hopefully avoid a new bend gate, along with Apple's new Ceramic Shield 2 coating on both the front and the back to improve its durability. Now, at $1,000, it is clearly positioned as a premium device, but even so, I was surprised to see its price land lower than the Pro model, even though it uses a similar A19 Pro chip. I would say similar because it's the A19 Pro, but it has one less GPU core, so make of that what you will. We'll talk more about Apple's latest piece of silicon goodness when we get to the 17 Pro and the Pro Max. If you don't care about thinness at any cost, the Air's new form factor may come with some trade-offs that you're not comfortable with, like a smaller battery, less robust rear camera system, and less cooling for the hot new chip that Apple acknowledges is hot in a literal sense. Finally, as sexy as a slim phone might feel in the hand, if you're a case kind of person, what difference does it really make? Oh, by the way, all the new phones are coming with a ton of new case options, including a new crossbody strap that is compatible with other iPhones from the 17 lineup. That is, as long as you've got the right case. Finally, the Air is eSIM only, so if you need a physical SIM card, this is not the phone for you. Moving on to the rest of the lineup. Oddly, they barely even mentioned the iPhone 17 Pro Max, which seems to be becoming a bit of a pattern, hey? It's still impressive what Apple can build at this price point, with up to 2 terabytes of storage, along with their biggest screen and best battery life by a healthy margin. But back when I picked a member of the iPhone 16 family, I ended up with the regular one in the plus size because it just felt way more practical, and it seems like a lot of Apple's customers must feel the same way. As I mentioned before, both the Pro and the Pro Max have transitioned backward to an aluminum unibody design, which, along with a new vapor chamber cooler, supposedly helps dissipate heat a lot better. So much for all the titanium talk we heard last year, not to mention when they were talking about the Air. Anyway, this move is to help cool the A19 Pro chip that's inside of these bad boys. Apple claims that their new 6-core CPU, 2 performance cores, 4 efficiency cores, is the fastest CPU in any smartphone thanks to improved branch prediction, more front-end bandwidth, and extra E-core cache. Also, while there still might not be a ton of AAA games for iPhone, the 6-core GPU has gotten some upgrades, promising a 40% increase in sustained performance over last generation. Maybe more important than that, though, is Apple's new N1 networking chip, which is a common part for the entire 17 lineup. This chip nets us Wi-Fi 7, Bluetooth 6, and Thread smart home support, and will work alongside the revised C1X in-house modem chip that's going to handle cellular more efficiently with up to a 2x boost in performance. Now, I have my own thoughts as to why we're getting a C1X rather than a C2, but I'm going to wait for more details before I start spewing potential BS across the internet. Also, another point, this video is getting a little long, so if there's anything from the event that you're excited about or upset about that we didn't mention, hey, leave a comment down below for the folks who are more into reading comments than watching entire videos. One thing that I'm sure most of you are excited about is the 48 megapixel sensors across the board on the Pro lineup. This is sick. I'm talking 48 megapixel main shooter, ultra wide, and their new telephoto with up to an equivalent 200 millimeter focal length and a 56% bigger sensor. By the way, with their new dual capture video feature, you can use the rear camera and the front camera at the same time to record your reaction behind the camera alongside whatever's out front. Honestly, kind of shocked it took this long to implement that, considering how long we've had FaceTime. And for more professional recording, like the entire Apple event, which featured a ton of great-looking low-light scenes, by the way, you are now getting the ability to record in ProRes RAW, which is, I guess, where 2 terabytes of storage might come in handy. How long before we get an iPhone that has like a freaking SD Express slot in it? Never, I know. Before I get to the non-Pro models, let's talk about the front-facing camera that the entire line is getting, because this thing is awesome. It's got a new square sensor and a feature called Center Stage. Want to take a portrait-style selfie, but suddenly a couple of friends hop in? Boom. Apple Intelligence steps in, adjusts the framing, and now it's landscape because you're a civilized human being. I'm just kidding. Portrait is actually totally fine for photos. The point is just that this whole process of switching between landscape and portrait takes zero effort, and I freaking love it if it gets implemented well, unlike, you know, a lot of Apple Intelligence things. Now let's change gears and talk about the regular iPhone 17 lineup. Or should I say, the iPhone 17. That's right, my friends. The Plus has gone bust. Most people probably won't care, but personally, I thought it was kind of a sweet spot of great battery life and a big screen while not overpaying for pro features that I didn't need. Anyway, even with just A19 non-pro silicon, the iPhone 17 looks like kind of a beast, and Apple seems to be precision targeting iPhone users who have been waiting for a worthy upgrade. I'm talking 120Hz display, new Ceramic Shield 2 on the front, a 6.3-inch Super Retina XDR display, 30 hours of video playback on battery, fast charging, the same 18-megapixel center stage front cam, and a 48-megapixel Fusion main camera and Fusion ultra-wide rear camera, along with Wi-Fi 7, Bluetooth 6, 5G eSIM. Oh, and did I mention it starts with 256 gigs of storage?
Yeah!
Finally, right? So unless you desperately want the slimness of the Air or need the big screen on the Pro Max, this is 100% the way to go in my opinion, and it starts at $800, which is a lot. But it's the same as the entry-level iPhone 16, which is what we call a 2020s decade W. Finally, the Apple Watch Series 11 got a couple of neat upgrades, the first of which is the ability to detect hypertension or high blood pressure. That's neat. And the second of which is the ability to give you a sleep score. Also neat. Its new display is allegedly twice as scratch-resistant as the last gen. Neat cubed. And now the SE 3, Ultra 3, and Series 11 have all got 5G connectivity and fast charging. You'll love to see it. Oh, and if you also love to save a buck, the SE is going to be $250 and sports the S10 chip with a 1000 nit display. It doesn't do the hypertension notifications, can't use the ECG and blood oxygen apps, and has a smaller battery. So I can see why some folks might lean toward the Series 11 for $150 more. That one has all the cool new features and can go up to a full 24 hours without charging and doubles the display brightness to 2000 nits. Finally, if you really want to ball out, but you don't have the taste or budget for a real watch, which, to be clear, I am very much throwing stones in glass houses here, the Ultra 3 is double the price at $800 with a giant 42-hour battery, a bigger, brighter display, and the potentially life-saving ability to communicate with satellites for emergency communication. Is that worth the giant price tag? Hard to say. I mean, I don't know what your life is worth. You could be the next Hitler watching this video right now, for all I know, and frankly, if you are, I'd rather you saved the money and then went on a long and dangerous expedition. Speaking of which, it's time for a long and dangerous segue to our sponsor. If you guys enjoyed this video, maybe check out our iPhone 30-day challenge. It's a two-parter, but really offers some useful insight into what it's like to switch from Android to iPhone.